Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations that demystify, destigmatize, and desensitize what goes on both inside the therapy room and in daily life.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Logan.
And we are seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. Every week, we sit down for soul-provoking conversations with fellow seekers, thought leaders, change makers, and even real people during live coaching sessions as they navigate the hard work it takes to be a human.
This is Cheaper Than Therapy.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
This is what happens when I just hit the record button while we're still talking.
While we're still cackling, as you would say. Is that what you say? Cackle?
Cackle. Danae and I were going through some questions that have been submitted in order to figure out our conversation today. And it brought up that we were sent some feedback that Danae and I are apparently one note.
Now we cackled. Can you say in someone's opinion?
Someone's opinion. Someone gave us the feedback that we are apparently one note. And so I thought that was interesting. I will
Old
say
man,
that when you and I first started this podcast, I don't think we were talking so much about like romantic relationships as we do now. It seems that those are the bulk of the questions we get. Those are the bulk of people who come to our retreats, people who are struggling with that. And so I think that we, as we do, allowing psyche to lead, kind of go where the conversations take us, right? And where it seems like the need is. And so maybe that's what this person is talking about. I think also you and I tend to have a pretty hard stance and a very differing stance on the ideas of codependency, autonomy, partnering, all of these things that I could see people thinking that we're one note, if you will.
I'm super okay with that, for the record. Also, whoever made that comment, with love, I'm super okay with that, because here's what. I think that we are living through a very particular moment in history, which we have spoken to many times. And to your point, I think that we realized something happening in the cultural zeitgeist, something happening in the evolution of women, that yes, we started, you know, running retreats, having conversations that were really around this movement of putting down this practice of self-abandoning. And I think the reason that resonates is because it's just such a common theme that all of us were socialized to do and be as, you know, women especially, but certainly as people, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we are healing that and putting some of that down, I think, you know, what we have found, and is certainly the case in the context of the questions we get, is that like we're just like really looking for like additional tools for like, what does that look like when this happens, and how do I hash it out when this happens? And so, yeah, like if it's supportive, we certainly will continue to ask the questions, but please feel free to ask us anything else that you're curious about, because we're here for it.
Yep. Yeah, we have a Q&A. You can actually submit questions right through our Instagram. And so if you have a question that you want to ask, please do so. I'm going to read the one.
We're not making these questions up, you know?
No, we're not. And we have to suss through a lot of them because we get a lot, and a lot of them are relationally based. And so we try to choose the ones that we feel will lead to a more robust conversation. I don't know if we're doing that. Apparently this person doesn't think we are, but let me read the question.
And you probably know in like, what's that thing in like the work? Like if you have like a problem, like come with, like if you have a question, come with a question. If you think we're OneNote, let's talk about something else then.
Yeah. Or let's talk about our OneNoteness. I would love to have that conversation. And on that note, actually, we're going to be doing an open call for some more live coaching sessions pretty soon. So pay attention for that. You can also actually apply to do that through our Instagram as well if you missed the post. So that being said, let me read the question that we're tackling. I just brought my boyfriend of 6 months home to meet my family. While we were visiting, I got a message from his ex and found out that he's been talking with her the entire time and that our relationship has essentially been a lie. I talked with his ex and she said he's done this before to her as well. Is this a narcissist? How can I begin to process this and move forward? I know logically I can't blame myself, but I already had a previous core wound of not good enoughness, and now I can't help but ask why I wasn't enough for him.
No.
First of all, you're not enough for him.
I hate that narrative that you are ending the question with, but who was Dr. Carrie? I'm like blanking on her name.
That's Carrington. Jody Carrington. Yeah.
Jody Carrington, my brain is not working right now. She was like, we just did an interview with John and she was like, I want to throat punch the word narcissist. I was dying.
That's actually something I am going to say from now on. I want to throat punch the word narcissist.
We might be a little too silly today.
Y'all know, you've heard us talk about this word before. It is a trigger word for us.
We got to ease it up on that everybody's a narcissist a little bit. Yeah. Everyone is not actually a narcissist. It's actually a lot more clinically rare than
Like 3%, I think they say, actually diagnosable. And on that note, we all carry narcissistic traits within us. We all display narcissistic traits within us. And so I actually just ran a group last week, one of our private online groups. And the conversation we were having was around where and when and how do I use labels to hide behind, right? To hide from my own work, to hide from my own accountability. And so I would offer that up just in general for anyone listening, not necessarily just this person asking the question, but I do think that's like that doesn't need to be the main conversation. That can just be like one point to think about, but it is worthy of thinking about, right? Where do I use labels to make myself feel better or to kind of skirt accountability?
Yeah. And even to pathologize others and, you know, meet them with a way of distancing versus like staying in the space of curiosity. And it's interesting, before we got on, I was saying to you that I noticed on John's Instagram today, someone had asked him the question, you know, my partner has been sexting someone at work. Is it over? Is it a wrap? And John responded to the question with something really in alignment with like, can you be curious with your partner versus going straight to the shutdown and the cutoff? And Vanessa, like the comment section was live, as is often the case, but people were really activated by John suggesting, you know, even suggesting the idea that we should meet our partner with curiosity versus if you step outside of the box, if you do this thing, it is over. And, you know, what I always come back to is that we have been raised in an extremely ownership-based, like an ownership template of partnership, which says, I own you or you're nothing to me. So if someone is sexting someone, you find out by going through their phone, by the way, and that's a whole other conversation, in and of itself. But if I find this out, you are done.
You're dead.
You're no longer someone I love and care about. And that to me is like some significant black and white thinking.
Oof. Dan, I love Dan Savage. I mean, he's been around forever, but I heard him recently on this sex therapist podcast that I like. And he was talking about how so often people will come to him and, or they'll write in comment or questions, right? And they'll say, I was with somebody for 30 years. I was married to somebody for 50 years. And I just found out that they like had this affair, or there was this like 1 year period where they were talking to somebody or whatever, and how they'll say things like, the entire relationship is a lie, right? None of it was real. And then like this question that this person asked, right? Essentially that our relationship has essentially been a lie. And what he said, I thought was so spot on, was number one, going back to what you're saying about the black and white thinking, which is somebody is not allowed to do something that we feel steps outside of our very black and white way of looking at right and wrong. And if they do, that immediately demonizes them, makes them bad, makes them dead to us, and somehow negates 49 of 50 years of beautiful, wonderful love and experience, right? And why is it that we are allowing ourselves to use this one blip, right, to actually kind of disprove somebody's entire personality, entire structure of who they are, right? And I also think that we are far more likely to look at somebody else's, and I'll say air quote transgressions, as some kind of what's the word I'm thinking of? Some kind of like description of their character, but we are a lot more likely to forgive our own transgressions. There's a word for that. I'm trying to think.
Psychological term. And I can't
Think of what it is, right? Where it's like that, we give people more grace than we give or give ourselves more grace, I guess, than we give other people.
Yeah.
What is the word? Is it Astaire that talks about that? Somebody talks about that.
The term for it is fundamental attribution, right? So what that is like you are fundamentally this type of a person.
Yes.
Versus when I do it, it is
it's a bad behavior. It doesn't have to do with the core of who I am. Yes, yes.
Right. So if I am late, it's because my boss held me long. I hit three red lights. Traffic. You know, I tripped over my shoe, whatever. If you are late, it's because you are a thoughtful, inconsiderate a-hole and you don't consider how you make other people feel.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, when I hear something like it is wrong and that person is a bad person and it's just this like complete black and white holding of a situation, what that says to me is that there's some shadow work for that person to do, because when we have really gotten into the muck with our own shadow, we are not using that type of black and white thinking to keep ourselves safe.
Yes.
Because we understand the complexity of us, ourselves as a human animal, that we are not, you know, either good or bad, that all of like the dark and the light exist within all of us. Mm. But when we're defending against what we perceive as quote darkness in another person to that extreme, that says to me that I have not made any sort of connection to, I'm not in relationship with my own darkness yet, you know.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. And here's the thing. The big piece here, y'all, is that we're not saying that this is used to justify bad behavior. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is you can still make a decision or hold a boundary about something somebody did or said and say, that doesn't work for me, right? That doesn't feel in alignment with the kind of relationship I want to be in. You can set a boundary. You can remove yourself from the situation. You can even cut off contact with somebody, right? And it's not a but. And you can still hold the complexity of somebody's humanness in a way where we don't have to make them a horrible pile of stinking garbage in order to make us feel okay about the situation, right? And so I think that is so often when we see that word being thrown around, narcissist, maybe it is so activating and triggering for us, especially because it is such an indicator of where we are lacking in our own shadow work as a community, like as a culture, actually. The fact that that word is thrown around as much as it is in this Western society, to me, shows more about us as a people, as a society, than anything, actually.
Yeah. And if you think about the narcissistic tendency of continuously pointing the finger at other people without being willing to look at yourself, that is actually void of empathy, in my opinion, which in and of itself is a narcissistic tendency. So you might want to hold the mirror a little bit. Yeah. And I'm not saying the person asking this question is. Right.
the people who are throwing it around.
But I'm saying the extent to which we want to label everyone else as narcissistic is actually a pretty narcissistic tendency when we break it down and say, I am void of any responsibility that needs to be taken in this situation. Yeah. I was the victim. I was just wronged. This person's a narcissist. Everyone else is a narcissist, but that has nothing to do with me and why I chose to be in relationship with this person.
Right. Yeah. And here's the thing, like, multiple things can all exist at the same time, right? So I can say I've been very hurt by these actions or behaviors of this person. And so part of my work right now, going back to this person who asked the question, is going to be grieving work, is going to be the work of feeling the shame around this and working with her not enough wound and all of the things that come up, which I also want to get into. And also within that work, noticing the tendency to make this person bad in order to, you know, not have to go there with myself in some essence is actually part of the work, and they all can exist at once. Right. And so, it's not an either or. It's not a, we either grieve or we attack or we, you know what I'm saying by that? It's like, I think part of the work of moving through things like this and this continued path of self-development is that we've got to get more comfortable knowing that the work includes a lot of moving pieces at the same time. And it's not just one specific direction or fix or catch all, or here's the tactic or here's the trick to get over this thing. Do you know what I mean?
I think a lot of the grieving that I find we need to do when there is a situation like this, whether it's this or infidelity or whatever the situation is, it's often the grieving of the fairy tale I held that any human being would be less than human in their way of meeting me. You know, I think I heard Aubrey Marcus speak to this thing of, you know, what we're talking about in a way that I got to go back and find that podcast because it was the most profound way I've heard someone speak to it. But it's basically like when I find the quote one, I will be enough and they will never have thoughts of another person. And that will be the way that I am, like, so clear on my worthiness for the first time in my life, because this omnipresent figure who knows how to be and do and, you know, show up as all of that for me forever and ever, amen, chooses me and never looks at another person. And that is how I know that I'm worthy. Oh. Like, think about, like, what that is psychologically for us to require that of another human being. Like, sit with that for a second.
I felt my whole body tense up and get, like, almost nauseous in hearing you say that.
But that is, like, what most of us have been conditioned to believe.
I know.
Love will be, right? That, like, once I find the one, they will never be interested in another person. They could not conceivably look at another girl and feel aroused. All of these things. And I'm, again, to the point that you were making, I'm not saying that sexting is okay. That's not what I'm saying. But if you love this person, or if anytime there is some sort of a transgression or betrayal, if I truly love this person, it's the same as if I find out that my partner has been doing drugs behind my back, right? I want to be curious about the why that person has been doing that thing, what it gave them, what they were struggling with, that gave them a little bit of relief from, versus immediately making that person bad. Because all of that doesn't really actually alleviate my suffering. It really doesn't. I promise you, she can break up with this person tomorrow and she will not feel better because she still will be telling herself the story that it is because she was less than worthy, when we both know that has nothing at all to do with why this person was sexting that person at work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also, going back to this unworthiness wound, I think there is a way in which, this is kind of building on what you just said, there's a way in which we actually perpetuate this wounding unconsciously, right? And so I actually think because she made a comment about, without going into it, she said something about having a prior experience that kind of brought this wound up for her, right? And so this is what we do, y'all. Like, unconsciously, we continue to prove to ourselves these wounds of unworthiness, right? And part of the work of excavating and kind of bringing into the light these wounds and then potentially healing them is actually in accountability. It is actually in the looking at the ways in which we keep ourselves, like, walled off with, like, this false sense of security or safety in the way that we attempt to control our environment, other people, and we make it about us, right? Mm-hmm. And so if in my head I had this idea, like you just said, which is when I find the one, they will never look at another person as long as they live, right? And that's what I'm looking for in order to be okay. Well, the reality of that happening is so slim to none, right? Because we're human beings, that you are actually setting yourself up to continue to feel not enough, so long as that is the kind of prescriptive way that you've gone about saying, okay, this is the thing I need to feel better, right? And so you're setting yourself up for it. You're actually continuing to hurt yourself by not actually taking that thing and examining that thing. So we examine the other person. We examine the why they did this thing. We examine the transgression itself. What we don't examine is that little component of the deep down, I believed that this person would make me feel worthy by never looking at somebody else, right? So that's what I mean when I say personal accountability. It's not like what I did wrong, air quotes. It's that little part inside of us that has used control to make myself believe that I can be safe, right? Mm-hmm. And if I can get into that, that's, I think, where the healing really has to be based in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, two things came up as you were saying that. Like, if I could give everyone on this planet, like one, someone was just recording a video about this earlier today, and I was like, God, is that true? But like, if we could all just understand the liberation that comes as human animals from knowing that as long as my safety, my security resides outside of me, I am insecure. Nobody can give us that. No matter what, humans are gonna human. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we don't relate to one another. It doesn't mean that we don't love one another. But if I need you to comply in order for me to have a sense of safety in my skin, I don't have safety in my skin, period. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that is more liberating than I am the only person that can give me that. I am the only person that can take accountability for myself in the way you're saying. Like, personal responsibility actually is so unbelievably liberating, because then I am in, quote, control of it, right? But it's like, whatever it is what I'm meant to experience, to grow through. It's not meant to hurt me or for me that I'm not going to be okay. But, you know, the other thing I was thinking as you were talking is just how deeply dehumanizing these things are. When, like, if I need you to not ever be aroused by another human being, or I'm done with you, you're an object for my comfort. And the minute you step
you're not a human,
and I can't be honest with you, right? Because if I am aroused, then I can't tell you that, or you will feel betrayed, or you will feel shunned by me, right? That allows you not to be in the fullest expression of your humanity with me. That is objectification of another person. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. And I just think there's so much about the ways that we are conditioned to hold love that are like, this other human being is here for my comfort and my pleasure and for me to feel a sense of security. And we do not hold a sliver of curiosity about their experience be so much more often than we want to admit.
Mm-hmm. Oof, speak on it. Yeah, I'm just sitting with it. I mean, it's... I mean, listen, y'all that have been listening to the podcast know, like listening for a while know, and anybody who's new to this also knows or should know that Danae and I will give you both compassion, empathy, and also a like a little bit of hard dose of reality, right? And listen, we're not for everybody.
We're super okay with that.
But this is none of us are for everybody, right? Yeah. And so if you are in a situation or a place in your work internally or in your relational work where personal accountability is not something you really want to sit with, then that is okay for that to be your place on your journey. And also, it might be activating to hear therapists like Danae and I say things like, we got to go to the core. We are actively objectifying other human beings when we make them responsible for our feeling okay in this world. And yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say that again, kind of to go back to the beginning conversation we were having around, you know, somebody giving us the one note feedback, because I think it's that. I think if they feel like us saying personal accountability is one note, then that might not be where they're at on their journey. And that's okay for them, you know?
Well, yeah.
For them.
I do. I think that it's, you know, and like we joke about it, like it's okay if we're not for you. But I do think what you and I, like the flag that we will never stop waving, is that this thing of abandoning ourselves and tap dancing for belonging, and I will be whoever you need me to be so that I will be worthy of your love, is actually, it is keeping us deeply disconnected from one another, because, mm-hmm. you know, we don't actually feel like we belong when I need you, when I need to be who you need me to be in order yes. for me to belong. And so I would say that is true of the podcast as well. So as much as I genuinely mean it when I say, like, with so much love, it's really okay if what Vanessa and I are saying doesn't resonate. That just means it's not meant to. And that's beautiful. There's so many podcasts. There's so many people who what they're talking about will resonate, but I'm not going to conform or shapeshift into someone who doesn't speak the way that I speak so that I can make more people comfortable. I've just like mm-hmm. spent too many of my years doing that and won't ever do it again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so if this is your question, if you're the one that wrote this in too, I mean, I would say, going back to what I was saying about multiple things existing at once, there's going to be anger and grief, and that's mm-hmm. okay. Allow yourself to be with those feelings. And as you're beginning to process and work through some of those feelings, I would start to ask yourself some questions around, where were you self-abandoning in this relationship? Because I know you said something about having no idea that it was happening. And there's a little part of me that on some level doesn't necessarily believe that. You might not have known exactly what was going on. But when I say I don't believe that, I say that we always know at some level that we are self-abandoning in order to be in a relationship, in order to maintain an attachment, right? And so whether that self-abandoning behavior was you doing what Danae was saying, which is contorting yourself to basically belong, right, for this other person, or whether that self-abandoning behavior was not looking at this person's behavior objectively, brushing it off in order to maintain that attachment, or whether that self-abandoning behavior was actually objectifying this person and making them an object for your comfort, right? Those are all ways that we do this in relationship. And I think the real healing work is going to be in examining some of that stuff, because that's what you're going to want to pay attention to as you continue to move forward and date again, you know?
Can I just throw in one other thing that John said as an or that I think is like, I think a lot of times we don't like, we just believe that people hold the same ethical baseline or the same, like, this is like a deal breaker or this is like the agreed upon rules that we do. And sometimes that's not the case. Like sometimes for people, it's like, you know, if nobody's touching anybody and, you know, I am not someone who thinks that like, the greatest sin or betrayal you, and that's my opinion, but you might also be in a relationship with someone who also holds that opinion that like, I didn't do anything. And have you guys had that conversation? And so where did we not talk about like what our rules of engagement were or what like, you know, healthy relating looked like for each of us? And if that's not a conversation that we've had, instead of making this person a villain, can I be curious about like if we can find alignment or not versus as we so often talk off, just like it's a wrap. They did this thing and I'm done with you. And what is this like ex doing texting you? Like that's a whole other conversation in and of itself. But that just feels like somebody's trying to start some mess. But
Right. And then I mean, that's a good point, right? Because she said that the quote was like that found out that the ex was talking to the ex the whole time, or found out that this person that she was dating was talking to the ex the whole time. And even when I read that, my thought was, well, what does that mean, talking to? Like, what is that? What
to talk or not?
Yeah. Like, was it really talking? Was it what you feel is emotional connection that feels maybe that it's crossed a boundary for you? And then I would say we go to Danae's point, which is, were you aligned on what that boundary was? Because I don't think it's, I think it's troublesome for us to blindly expect that other people and us share the same boundary, to your point, of what we feel is okay or not okay when it comes to transgressions in relationships. And I think a lot of what you and I talk about with, especially in groups, Danae, is how often we don't intimately connect and vulnerably have conversations with the people that we're in relationships with. A lot of things are left unspoken that should not be left unspoken. And if you feel like you can't have those conversations, that in and of itself is a pretty big indicator that there's a lack of intimacy in a relationship, right? So anyway, just something else to kind of think about. All right, y'all. We love appreciate you.
Until next time.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us more, find us on Instagram at Cheaper Than Therapy, the podcast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.